If you were to pick up where you live and you were to drive just a few miles from where you're living right now and you went into a cul-de-sac or you went into a small area, a little neighborhood, would it change? Think about that. Would me going in there, would it change? Well, you might say, well, it'd be older now. or some say it'd be younger. Or some say it'd be more fluid, or some say it'd be less fluid. What, would your neighborhood change? Well, today I'd like to suggest to you, change your neighborhood. Change your neighborhood. Now, how are you going to do that? We started last week in doing this. We started last week realizing that we don't want any of our neighbors to go to hell. We want them to go to heaven. And that's very much an important part. So when we are beginning to develop this line of thinking right here, we want people to be naturally, who are naturally resistant to change, we want you to be able to go into the community and bring about real change. Now you say, well, how can that happen? First thing I'd like you to do is to think about Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. The scripture says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Now, set the scene. You're a change agent now. You are moving into a community. And you know what would really bless my heart? At the end of this service, all of a sudden a family says, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to move our area where we're comfortable, and we're going to move into an area we're not comfortable so that we can change the neighborhood." Or you might go back home and say, "You know what? We've been living as a silent partner. Nobody really knows who we are or what we're about. We're going to go back home and we are going to change our neighborhood." How are you going to do that? You're going to need some help. And that's what the Lord says. He says, "I'll give you wisdom." Wisdom means the skills to deal with life, common sense, how to bring good sense out of chaos. He will give you the ability to make good decisions. God will give you the wisdom to do this. Secondly, not only is he going to give you that wisdom, but he's also going to give you knowledge. Knowledge means that of being aware, full of knowledge. Having the skill to move in the society. You can say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm not a social being." Well, God created you social. Believe it or not, I'm by nature a shy person, but sometimes by nature a shy person, I got to get out of that. And I got to reach out into territories in which I'm uncomfortable with, and so therefore I need help. I need wisdom from God. I need knowledge, to be aware, full of knowledge, skill to do this, and I need understanding. And that understanding is intelligence flows out of God. He teaches us to use discretion. He develops within us reason. He gives us skills to accomplish purpose. He provides us knowledge of a particular object or process so that we might do this. So what do you say? I'm saying, okay, we're going to be a change agent. We need to know. We need to know, and knowledge is to know what to do. We need to have wisdom. We need to know when or how to do it. And thirdly, we need to have understanding to know why I'm going to do it. Why am I, of all people on planet Earth, why is God asking me to be a change agent? Well, in order for you to do this, you got to identify some things. One thing is identify your neighbor. I went into the Christian bookstore yesterday. And I said, okay, now this is serious. Sometimes I have to tell people I'm serious. Okay, I said, now this is serious. Who's your neighbor? And this guy said, "Oh, I'll tell you who my neighbor is. It could be just anybody. It's anybody I can come in contact with." I say, "Okay, here two girls walked in. They walked down the aisle and said, 'They're your neighbors.'" And he just looked at me. You know? And then the other lady that's working there, so sweet people. I asked her, "Who's your neighbor?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know. Who is my neighbor?" You ever struggle with that, who your neighbor is? Let me give you just a little bit. Take a 5-minute break, okay? Let's take a 5-minute break and let's try to figure out who our neighbor is. Show us the video, Larry. And thinking about this, we're setting the scene of changing the community, learning who your neighbors are, making a difference. Oh,
I'm sorry, honey. Mommy has a little problem with the car. Looks like we'll be a little late getting to Grandma's.
A country to serve, but I sure could use your help right about now.
Lot easier if you weren't in the van.
I'll meet you just myself. I'm tired.
Thank you.
Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? This is not very far removed from where we live, is it? How many times have we seen somebody in that type of a situation in which help was really needed? So we must begin to identify, who is my neighbor? Now, love's going to identify your neighbors being real people. These are people in need. And if you're going to be a real neighbor, you got to take ownership of some stuff that maybe you don't want to necessarily take ownership. But love cares whether your neighbor or not is going to heaven. Love really cares that. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and following says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Who is my neighbor? You know, sometimes we don't even take the time to listen to their story. The other day, I hit this point in which I wanted to hear the guy's story. And so I got to meet a friend who is now a neighbor, who was a Muslim, who now is a believer. And I said, "I want to know your story." So right there in the store where we're standing, he began to tell me his story. Of how he said, you know, in the Quran, he says, it even says there that Jesus owns all the earth. And so he said, you know, there's two paths to take. One path is toward Jesus and the other path is toward violence. He said, "I chose the good path." Listening to somebody's story. Identify who your neighbor is. Is it the guy? Is it the woman who's changing the tire? Is it the guy who's been hurt? Is it? Well, listen to this as we'll see this. Because a good neighbor is not only going to identify their real people and who my neighbor is, but the second thing is we show mercy. How is that? Love shows mercy while mercy can be shown. Then Jesus, in Luke 10:30 and following, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw, he passed by the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And he went and he sat on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to whom he fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. Well, showing mercy. You know what, in the community though, we've got a few sayings that we think about. In a community, being a change maker, how many times have you said, "I don't have time"? How many times have I said, "I don't have time," or "I don't know them. This might be dangerous. I don't want to get involved. I don't have the resources. Really, I don't care. Someone else will come along. I'm not trained. I'm too important to get involved in that." What would the neighbors think? No one's watching. He got into that fix. Whether the neighbor lives or dies, it's not up to me. You know, somehow missing that length of mercy. Let's identify our neighbor. Let's show mercy. And then let's do them no harm. In other words, love does not harm a neighbor by living out the commandments of God. The scripture says, in Romans 10:13 and 8 and following, he says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Loving our neighbor. In fact, if you recognize something there, you heard the Ten Commandments coming into focus. And in the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments really point toward God and toward your family. But the second five commandments points toward our neighbor and the society, the neighborhood in which we are living in. So if you're not going to do no harm to your neighbor, then what are you going to do? Number one, you're going to look at people through the eyes of Jesus and not the desires of the flesh. Christians avoid sexual sin by mental overt or by association. Look at the value of people and see and refuse to go the conquering of the flesh. Look how God looks at them. So you say, if I'm going to be a neighbor, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then he says, seek to give life, not take life. Murder through thought or action has no place in the Christian life. Killing through insinuation, gossip, cruelty, or the gun fall into the same category of sin. Neighbors are not to be cruel, even if it's just for a laugh. Have you ever done that to someone of your neighbors or somebody? I mean, you said something, you just said, oh, I was just kidding. Now look at them. You was just kidding. But if you look real close, there's blood coming out of their side. It's called emotions. And you said, oh, I didn't really mean nothing by it. I was just kidding. You know, that doesn't take the pain away. If we're not going to do any harm, let's look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Let's seek to give life and not take it. And keep your hands off other people's property. In other words, refuse to steal property, reputation, or anything of value to someone else. God hates thieves. If you want a report, do your own homework. Be your own man. Carry your own load. Revelation says, in Revelation 22:15, but outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Ephesians 4:25 says, let him that stole steal no more. What is God telling us? God's telling us, keep your stinking fingers to yourself. Okay? That's really what he's doing. Now, you may think, oh, I don't have any problem. Now, who is your neighbor? Oh, is it the guy next door? Or is it the guy you work for? Is it the store you're walking through? Or is it the apples on somebody else's tree? Or is it the watermelon in somebody else's patch? In other words, is he your neighbor? So therefore, what he's telling us here, tell the truth about this thing now. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now, no, something else about no harm to your neighbor, according to the Big Ten, it says, tell the truth. Christians should not have to take an oath for them in order for them to tell the truth. But you cannot love your neighbor and lie to him. Now think about that. Do we have that kind of problem? You know, in the business that I work with, one of the biggest problems that we have is finding people who are honest. So many people have sticky fingers, and they can come up with all these reasons why you owe them something. And so therefore, they just take what doesn't belong to them. God says, wait a minute now. Tell the truth. Tell the truth about your neighbor. And then he says, corral desire, staying off other people's possession. He's talking about covet. If something belongs to somebody else, if you want what they got, go out and work for it and get something like it. But leave theirs alone. Keep your hands off their four-wheeler. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Don't covet somebody else's wife. Children, don't covet them. So the Bible says, look, what I want you to do is identify who your neighbor is. They're real people. I want you to show mercy when you have the opportunity. I want you to do them no harm. And then, number four, be agreeable. Love excites your neighbor by attempting to be agreeable. Is that hard for some of us to be agreeable? When's the last time you made your neighbor happy? Keep Keep that kitty off my car! Y'all got any kitty problems? You know what I'm talking about. Make somebody happy. Love them. Care for them. Share for them. Lead them down. Because, you know, when you seek to build up a neighbor, excite their faith in God and their purpose, have agreeable spirit, make somebody happy. Lead them toward instruction or enlightenment, both morally and spiritually. What's the opposite? The opposite is displease or lead in the wrong direction. So be agreeable with your neighbor. That's what he wants us to do. Because you know what? You don't forget things like that. Well, I remember 25 years ago, my daughter said, "Oh, Daddy, I want that. I want a dog. Oh, please, Daddy, I want a dog." I said, "Honey, if I get your dog, you got to take care of the dog." "Oh, Daddy, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know I'll do it." "Oh, yeah, okay." Oh, Daddy's heart melted. What can I say? I had a meltdown and I got the dog. And you know what? That dog was wonderful for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden that dog became the community dog. And then all of a sudden that dog got in trouble with one of the neighbors. And the neighbor says, and the neighbor called me and said, "What about this?" And the neighbor knew I'd take care of it, maybe the way they didn't want it took care of. But I was going to take care of that situation. And the neighbor said, no, don't do it. We'll take care of the dog." And they did. 25 years later, I still remember that neighbor doing a kind thing to the dog that belonged to my daughter. Isn't that amazing how that you can have, a neighbor can be a neighbor and they can bring a smile, they can be happy, they can do something good that's not soon forgotten. Number five, if you're going to impact your neighborhood and your community, you serve one another. And when you serve one another, love builds up, avoiding backbiting. In other words, the scripture teaches us very plainly how it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, 15, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite or devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Can you imagine that? You haul off and you're a backbiter. You know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, two of you is going to get in a fight. Just like Jerry Clower's dogs. Did you know they got a fight? They did. He had some boiled okra. And he threw this boiled okra out. And it went down the throat of the one hound dog so fast he thought the other dog got it. And they got in a fight. You know what? So you can, if you start biting each other, what happens? All of a sudden, you can be consumed. I saw that. I saw that happen. I saw that happen in this church. All of a sudden, one somebody said something about somebody else. It was only a partial truth. And you know what a partial truth is? You know what a half truth is? That's right. A half truth is a whole lie. And all of a sudden, one said this about this one, and all of a sudden, this one said that one, and now 10 years later, they're both out of church. They devoured each other. Why? Why? Because they wasn't good neighbors. If you're going to impact your community, you got to tell the truth. You got to love. You got to serve one another. Man, things can happen. You know, I know of a church called Ebenezer 1 and Ebenezer 2. You know how they came into being? Over a chicken leg. Can you imagine that? Over a chicken leg, yeah, because they were Presbyterian church. And one group was hyper-Calvinism in so much that they said, okay. He said, this guy invited him over to the neighbor's house, and the neighbor started praying. And he said, okay. He says, "Lord," and he went into this long prayer. He said, "From the foundation of the world, you have foreordained that I would eat this piece of chicken." And all of a sudden, the neighbor crossed the table from him, reached over there and snapped that chicken leg, took a big old bite out of it, and said, "Here, let's just fool him one time." And it was on then. It was on over a chicken leg. You had Ebenezer 1 and Ebenezer 2. And so what can happen? Let's speak the truth, but don't speak it with air, but speak the truth in love. Serve one another. If you're serving one another, you leave that chicken leg alone. Okay? Let him eat it. Let him eat it. Okay, so what he's telling us here is if we're going to do this, we need to identify who our neighbor is. We need to show them mercy, do them no harm, Be agreeable and serve. Be a servant. It's hard to serve somebody and talk about them. It's hard to serve somebody without being and building up a relationship with them. It's hard to serve somebody and not get attached to them. Oh, back in the community right behind us, Kim and Robert. Do y'all know Kim and Robert? Robert's disabled. And Kim is showing forth what a wife, what a real deep level of love, because Robert can't take care of himself at all. And for years now, Kim has been showing love to her husband, serving one another. Yeah, Franco, you remember, that's where we went and cut grass at, okay? And so we went over to Kim's house. And then this weekend, they're raising money to get a van too, so that she can take Robert to other places, because he's in a wheelchair and he's totally. And so therefore they're fishing catfish and panfish. And Brother Tony got the panfish and I got the catfish, and they were both good. But the neighbors were coming together, serving one another to provide for a physical need for Robert. Hey, that's neighbor. That's who neighbors are. When you serve one another in different capacities. So therefore, let's love. Then number six, we need to speak truth. In the church, we need to stop lying. In the church, people need to tell the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 says, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Satan speaks lies. In John 8:44, the scripture says, it says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father is what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. What is this? In your neighbor, speak the truth. And you might say, that's hard sometimes. Yeah, it's hard sometimes. But if you're going to affect and change your community, you've got to speak truth. And remember that when you speak truth, you're on Jesus' side. When you speak a lie, you're on Satan's side. And the Bible teaches us that all liars are going to hell, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. So what do we need to do? We need to identify who our neighbor is, show mercy when we can, do them no harm, be agreeable, seeking to help make them happy, serve them, and let's speak the truth. In love, let's speak the truth. And the last thing, love acts. You do good when you fulfill the royal law. The scripture says in James 2:8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You really do. If you fulfill the love, you do well. Now, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor that I'm going to show these things to? Well, let me give you a scenario. Scenario. Elderly couple had some need for some food. So they made contact with Dawn Thomas. And Dawn, when she heard it, she helped in two resources with a Pine Lake and also out of our food closet here. She was able to gather together some food for the Smiths. And she took this food over there and they started building this relationship. So all of a sudden, the daughter of Mr. Smith had told Dawn, said, Dawn, would you send the preacher over or somebody to talk to my dad? Because I think he's 80 years old. He's not a believer. Somebody needs to talk to my dad. Will you send somebody? And she said, sure, I'll do it. So she talked to me and she told me. And what did I do, being the man of God I am? I forgot about it. I know y'all don't ever forget anything. But I forgot, and on Wednesday night she reminded me, saying, hey, have you been to see Mr. Smith yet? I said, oh no, but I'll go tomorrow night. And so I went to the Smith's house on Thursday night, and Mr. Smith wasn't there. And I found out that Mr. Smith had been in ICU unit. And then I talked to his wife, and she says, now he's out, but he's in room 50504 at the hospital. So I went up there to talk to Mr. Smith. He says, Mr. Smith, I just wanted to come and say hello to you. And within about a minute, Mr. Smith said, I died yesterday. I said, what? He told me twice, I died yesterday. And he said, when I died, he said, I saw this bright light. And he said, this light was beautiful. And he said, when it was so beautiful, I didn't know if I wanted to come back or not. But he told me, he told me, go back and make things right with me. And so after he told him to go back and make things right with him, he came back and he says, I'm here today because I want to make things right with him. I says, are you ready? He said, yeah. So I shared with him of Jesus Christ. I shared with him how that Adam and Eve were created, beings of God, but they sinned against God. And then after they sinned against God, that God had to send somebody into the world because of our sin. And he sent Jesus Christ into the world. And Jesus Christ came into the world and he died for our sins. And then I said, you can go to heaven if you believe in him, if you ask him. For I said, for with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made. And I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, Mr. Smith, I said, do you want to make things right with God right now? And he said, yes. And so I led Mr. Smith just in a brief prayer. Forgiveness of sin. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Jesus came into the life of Mr. Smith. It was awesome. That's a man. I don't know many men. That's a man who died. Came back. While I was in there, the nurse came in. I told her what happened. And she said, the nurse asked him, do you remember? He said, yeah, I remember. Because they took the pads out and they shocked him. She said, most people don't remember that. Do you remember? Yeah, I remember. And so all of a sudden, I walked outside and I text Dawn. I said, Dawn. I said, Mr. Smith just asked Jesus in their heart. Text started coming back fast. I'll be there in 5 minutes. You know, this younger generation, bunch of whippersnappers, they don't get on the phone and call and say this. They want it by text. And she said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So I text her back. I said, I'm on the road. She said, I'll be there. And so she after she said, I'll be there in 5 minutes, she put her next text in tears here. I understood what that meant. In tears here. So they went. And so they talked to Mr. Smith. And then after that, Mr. Smith told him, said, I'm here because God allowed me to be here. So I ask you a question. Do you want to know who my neighbor is? If you want to know who my neighbor is, just ask Dawn Thomas. She can tell you who my neighbor is. That's for you. And that's for me. And AJ, let's put up that light because you're my neighbor. And because you're my neighbor, there's such a great love. There's a love of Jesus Christ that's here tonight, this morning. I want to ask you several real questions. Do you know your neighbors? Are you ready to make an impact on your neighborhood? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you can answer those questions, we're ready for decision time. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I'd like to pray with you just like I did with Mr. Smith last night, or a couple days ago. I'd like to talk with you. If you'd like to change your neighborhood, maybe you need to go to the prayer altars and you and God get some knowledge and some wisdom and some understanding. Maybe you just need to grab your mate and say, it's time for us to make a difference in our neighborhood. Maybe you're the one that needs to move out of your neighborhood into another neighborhood to change that neighborhood. Maybe you're the one. This morning, this morning. God brought you here for a purpose. Let's pray. Father, we're here today because you love us. And the strength, the love of Jesus Christ can make us good neighbors. Father, we want to identify. We want to love. We want to serve. We don't want to do our neighbors no harm. We want to love them and care for them and speak the truth to them. We want to love them, God. Help us to be the neighbor that you want us to be. And in doing that, we know our neighborhood will be changed for the glory of God. But Father, I know that all begins in us, so we have to make decisions. We have to make decisions, and now's a good time. So, Jesus, as people make decisions, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together for a time of invitation. What God puts on your heart, you do. We're waiting on you. Let's stand.